Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
We continue with our series, Prepare for Battle. This is the third part. And we would be finishing next week, but that's not going to happen. So we have one more week to go. You know how we do. The word of God is too sweet. Amen. Ephesians 6, 10 to 18. If you have your Bibles, it won't be on the screen as of yet. So let's read together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication of all the saints. So, in week one, we looked at the first instruction, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That was the first thing that we are instructed to do. And then last week, it was for us to put on the whole armor of God. I won't have the time to give a full recap, but what I would just simply say to you is, let's be reminded, God has done and continues to do his part, and we need to do our part. You, child of God, are not exempt from the battle. You are not exempt from the struggle. No matter how old you are or young you are, no matter how long you have been in the kingdom or not how long you've been in the kingdom, you are in the fight. And there is no exemption. Amen? So, being prepared for the battle is the one difference between success as a follower of Jesus and potential defeat. But by the grace of God, you will only know success. Now, amen? All right. So this week, what we are looking at is the third instruction, which is to resist the forces. This is paraphrased, to resist the forces of evil. To be prepared for battle, we need to resist the forces of evil. So at this point, again, I just want to remind, for anyone who is not familiar with this term of spiritual warfare, it is a cosmic and celestial battle that is raging right now over us. It's unseen at its origin, but not necessarily at its output. And I won't have time to unpack that today, but this is a battle that is raging right now and has been raging for 2 millennia. And we are right in the middle of it. Amen? Now, to be prepared for this battle as a people of God, we need to be ready to resist the forces of evil. So we looked last week at verse 11. Today we're going to be looking at verse 12. So Ephesians 6:12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, the darkness of this age, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly realms, now heavenly places. Now, in regards to spiritual warfare, this scripture tells us three things. It tells us, number one, the nature of our battle, which is combat, a wrestling match, if you like. Number two, it tells us who our opponent is, so who we are engaging with in battle, principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual forces of wickedness, or hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And thirdly, where the battle is actually occurring, where the battle is taking place. And as I just said, it's taking place in the heavenlies. It is taking place in the heavenlies. Now, I'm going to just, not next week, but the week after, which is the final part of this, I'm going to be speaking on prayer, and I will be unpacking verse 12 even more. But right now, we're going to jump to verse 13, where it says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So to be prepared for battle, we need to be ready to resist the forces of evil. To resist the forces of evil. Now we take a look at this word withstand just for a moment. And it comes from a Greek word antistemi. Antistemi. And it's made up of two words. Anti, which is opposite or against, and histemi, which is to stand. So when you put it together, antistemi means to withstand. It means to stand against or to resist. Child of God, you are and you always will be part of the resistance. Regardless of what man may or may not do, regardless of what governments may or may not do, regardless of what nations may or may not do, whether there may be wars or rumors of wars, whatever dictatorship might be out there, whatever cult might be out there, whatever ruler might be out there, whatever demonic host might be out there, you have and will always be part of the resistance. And that's never going to change. And now the Lord would ask us the question, it's a simple question that requires a simple answer. Who is on the Lord's side? Because if you are on the Lord's side, then that means that you are a follower of Christ. And if you're a follower of Christ, that means you're going where he's going. And if you're going where he is going, that means you're going to do what he is doing. And what he is doing, he is pushing back the darkness. He is engaging with the enemy at every level. Child of God, you are not exempt. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, this fight is your fight. And nobody can fight your fight for you. Your brothers and sisters in Christ can fight with you, but not for you. Amen. Antistemi. It means to be against, to stand against, to withstand, or to resist. And this verb, because antistemi is a verb, and it suggests vigorously opposing the opponent, bravely resisting, standing face to face against every adversary, standing your ground. Antistemi is, of course, where we get the English word antihistamine. I'm sharing this with you not because I know what I'm talking about. I just got this from the University of Google. I'll give it a shot, eh? Histamine is a chemical found in some of the body's cells. It causes many of the symptoms of allergies, such as runny nose or sneezing. And as one who has to contend and fight with hay fever every year, I know this from experience. But every year, I believe, not this year. Amen. Every year, I believe, not this year. Now, when a person is allergic to a particular substance such as food or dust, the immune system mistakenly believes that this This usually harmless substance is actually harmful to the body. In an attempt to protect the body, the immune system starts a chain reaction that prompts some of the body's cells to release histamine and other chemicals into the bloodstream. The histamine then acts on a person's eyes, nose, throat, lungs, skin, or gastrointestinal tract, causing allergy symptoms. So you've probably heard of antihistamine medications. These help to fight symptoms caused by the release of histamine during an allergic reaction. So just as antihistamine puts a block on histamine, antihistamine tells us that the authority and spiritual weapons granted to us can put a block on every and any evil force. And in other words, it enables us to withstand and resist the forces of evil. Jesus' blood is all the antihistamine that you need to block the effects of the histamine of sin. The blood of Jesus is all the antiseptic that you will ever need to purify the heart from the contamination of any form of iniquity. You, child of God, have been cleansed, purified by the blood of Jesus. It's like sin operates in the flesh, and it's not necessarily foreign to the flesh, but it's foreign to you because you are a child of God and you're a child of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit. So there has to be a counteract to the work of sin in our lives. And because if not, there is an irritation that comes, and there's something that affects the way we see, because it messes with our eyes and it messes with our mouth, and it clogs up our spiritual throat, and we can't speak the way we want to speak. It even affects our taste. And the Lord says, taste and see that the Lord is good. But when you have an allergy reaction, you can't taste anything. When you have an allergic reaction, you struggle to see anything. When you have an allergic reaction, you can even have your ears blocked up. So you gotta have an antihistamine that says, I am resisting the power of sin, I am resisting the incursions of the devil, and in the name of Jesus, I'm gonna hear what I need to hear, see what I need to see. I'm gonna not have any of that horrible itchy thing in my throat, that irritation in my throat, because it is the blood of Christ that cleanses me from every form of iniquity, in Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise. Antihistamine blocks, it blocks. And there are some things that you need to put a block on. If a curse is made against you, that needs to be blocked. If someone has said something to you that is contrary to the truth of God's word, it needs to be blocked. Any plan or agenda that has been engineered against you, your marriage, your family, your mind, or your physical health, it needs to be blocked. How? By invoking the authority and the power of the blood of Jesus, but also by resisting the enemy in accordance to that authority and power. Fathers and mothers, you need to be the gatekeepers of your home. If you're a single father, you got to do that job. If you're a single mother, you got to do that job. If you're the only one saved in your house, you need to do that job. Whether you're a father or a mother, you need to be the gatekeeper of your home. You need to know that you have the authority to declare, so far, but no further. You need to be ready to block, to withstand, to resist the lying enemy who seeks to infiltrate your life. Those who are mature in the faith need to be ready and prepared to block, to withstand, to resist every spiritual intruder, every wolf in sheep's clothing in the church. This is a responsibility of the mature, not the immature, not the novice Christian. This is a battle. This is a war. Satan has spies. He's got codes. He's got the ability to somehow undermine the work of the Lord from the inside. This is why we have got to be vigilant. We have got to be mindful. We need to recognize the creeping of this toothless lion as he seeks to devour somebody. Church, you need to know that you have the authority to deny access to the enemy of your soul. Yes. You need to be convinced that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth would have been loosed in heaven. Whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Whatever you permit will be permitted. Matthew 16, 18. Antithemi is to withstand, to stand against, or to resist. To be prepared for battle, we must be ready to withstand, to stand against, or to resist the forces of evil. James 4, 7 declares, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But how do we do this? How do we resist the enemy? We resist the enemy. We stand against him. We withstand him, vigorously opposing him by taking up the whole armor of God. Now, note in verse 11 what it says. In verse 11, we are told to do what? To put on the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies, the schemes of the devil. But in verse 13, what are we told to do? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. What does all this mean? Well, what it means is this. To take up means to pick up, to raise up, or to lay hold of. Therefore, when we put on the whole armor of God, we are clothed in it. But when we take up the whole armor of God, we are putting it to use. We resist the enemy by taking up the whole armor of God. We put on the armor of God only once. You don't put on the armor of God every day. That is incorrect if you believe that. You put on the armor of God the day you are born again. You put on the armor of God only once, but you take up the armor of God daily. Just as we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit once, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily. And we need to do something with this infilling daily. We do not need to put on the armor daily, but we need to take up the armor daily. Amen? Each day, we need to say to the Lord, what victories are we going to win together today? That needs to be your posture. To take up the armor means to be prepared to use it. I mean, you can, you don't, I know we love the song, you know, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, the armor of flesh will fail you, never suffer. Well, yeah, I can't remember that. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls a danger, be never wanting there. That's a beautiful hymn, it's a beautiful song, but it's not correct. By prayer, you can affirm that you have armor on, like a soldier checks themselves. They check their equipment. They are ready for battle. They haven't taken it off. You know, there are times in warfare and in battle, Roman soldiers will sleep in their armor. They will eat in their armor. They will go to the bathroom in their armor. They never took it off. And they will inspect themselves. They will examine themselves. They will check themselves. All these things are qualities of a prayerful life. But you don't need to put it on every day. What you need to do is take it up every day. What we have got to do is put it to use every day. Amen. Are you with me, church? Can you see what I'm talking about? The child of God, be prepared for battle and do so by being ready to withstand, to stand against, to resist the forces of evil. And if you are able to do this, you will be able to withstand and resist the forces because you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And because you have put on the whole armor of God. And lastly, because you have taken up the armor that you have put on. In other words, if you are going to resist the devil, you need to be ready to make use of your weapons of spiritual warfare. Now, next week, we are going to go in depth on all six of the different aspects of these weapons of warfare. In actual fact, there's seven, because prayer is one of them. But prayer, we're going to be, verse 18, we're going to be covering separately in the Sunday after this coming Sunday. But next week, we're going to go into more depth with that. And you, honestly, you don't, you're not going to miss it anyway, because if either you listen to it in person or you're going to watch it online. But I want to give you some key points on the armor of God. And we'll do this and bring our time to a close. First of all, number one, this armor is spiritual armor that can only be used in a spiritual battle. It is spiritual armor that can only be used in a spiritual battle. Again, to remind us of what it says in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. It is not human beings that we are wrestling against, even though human beings are sometimes the agents of the enemy. This is a spiritual battle, but it manifests itself physically. Just last Sunday, I don't subscribe to this guy's church. I'm not going to mention his name. I don't subscribe to his teaching, and I won't advise anyone to do so. But I don't name name from our pulpit, but just ask the Lord to tell you who I'm talking about. But anyway, largest church in America, a gun man goes into it, robed in a Save Palestine flag, with a rifle, with the intent of killing as many people as possible. And it just happened that there were two off-duty police officers present. They engaged in a gun battle, and unfortunately, sadly, this man who came in with the intent to kill was killed himself. But not only that, the 7-year-old boy that he was with, why he was with a 7-year-old child, I have no idea. That child was also struck by a bullet. And this happened just as the service was about to start. This is the day that we're in, church. This is the time that we are living in. Again, on Sunday, as a church, we support Open Doors. And we get a report from the Democratic Congo. As a wonderful church, pastored by a wonderful man and his wife with 2 or 3 children, I don't know for certain. Gunmen came into the church, Islamists, and they murdered 26 people, including 2 of those people were the 2 children of this pastor and his wife. They kidnapped, abducted the pastor and his wife. An appeal went out to pray and to intercede for their release. And last night, the report came through that both their bodies had been found. My Jesus said, in this world, you will suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is why you need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Because if you are following Christ as his disciples, you are going to face persecution. If we are not facing persecution, then we are not doing it right. But this is not a game. This is not feather duster Christianity. We know Tim said, you come in on a Tuesday, Sim might thrust a feather duster into your hand. That's wonderful, and amen to that, because our sanctuary needs to be cleaned and dusted and everything else. Both male and female, we believe in full inequality feather dusters. But on Friday and all throughout the week, we have prayer warriors at 6 a.m. in the morning, at Friday and in the afternoon. We have prayer warriors here midweek on a Wednesday. We have prayer warriors here early morning on a Sunday. We have prayer warriors in their homes praying, fasting, and interceding God. You don't use a feather duster in that fight. You need to have a sword in the mighty name of Jesus. The only way that you can acquire the strength of the Lord in the days that are coming, not just the days that we are in, but in the days that we are coming, is to be strong, to put on, and to take up. It is a spiritual armor that can only be used for spiritual, this is a spiritual battle, but it manifests itself physically, and we need to be ready with that. Someone comes up into your face and says, and spits at you, or says, why do you believe what you believe, or has a go at you. You need to do what Jesus did. And that is to love that person. But I'm telling you, if that demon manifests itself, you got to know you have the authority and the power to cast that thing out of that person in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Some of you aren't convinced. That's all right. But I'm telling you, you will be. Because the Lord is training you. Whether you like it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you're ready or not, the Lord is training you. The mere fact that you are sitting under this teaching is the Holy Spirit getting hold of your heart and saying to you, now is the time, child of God, to pick up your sword again. Now is the time, child of God, to get into the fight again in Jesus' mighty name. May God help us all, and He will, and He does. Paul said in Corinthians 2, 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk and live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh, using mere human weapons. If we are to be successful on the battlefield of spiritual conflict, we must adhere to the rules of engagement. Physical weapons are for physical battles. Spiritual weapons are for spiritual battles. The church has got to be equipped. You need to be equipped. It's my responsibility to equip you, to arm you, to teach you how to fight, to teach you how to intercede, to teach you how to study your Bible, to teach you how to lay hold of biblical truths for yourself. It's time to get your pickaxe, child of God, and you got to start doing some mining. You need to start digging that thing deep. That's the only way that you are going to be in Christ. Don't be like the one who builds on sand. You need to get that pickaxe. You need to dig into that rock. You need to dig into that rock. It's going to cost you blood. It's going to cost you sweat. It's going to cost you tears. But you need to do it yourself. You've got to learn how to be strong in the Lord. Don't rely on any man. Don't rely on any woman. We thank God for the body of Christ. We thank God for the maturity of saints in the battle. We thank God for those who have gone before and those who have the experience, those who have the know-how. But the moment, you got to know this now, child of God, the moment you took your first breath in the kingdom, the moment you took your last breath in the kingdom of darkness, and you took your first breath in the kingdom of heaven, you are endued. You were endued with everything that you will ever need to be the successful and mighty and powerful child of God that God has ordained for you to be. Amen. This armor of God is supplied to us by God, number two, but not used by God. Your armor has been supplied by Him, having been created by Him for the conflict described, nothing else will do. The second verse in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. They are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. Can I have the back one on as well, please? Mighty through God. Mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. Do you know something, church? Do you know right now we are in spiritual warfare? Do you know right now, while I am preaching and teaching this, we are in spiritual warfare? Yes. Do you know that we are engaged in a spiritual battle right now? Yes. Okay. The theologian William Gornall said this, we must not confide in the armor of God, but in the God of the armor, because all our weapons are mighty through God. If man can create... end of quote. If man can create such weapons of mass destruction, how much more an almighty and all-powerful God? Man's weapons are designed for the destruction of humanity. J. Robert Oppenheimer, the man known as the inventor of the atomic bomb, said this, I have become death, the destroyer of worlds. God's weapons are designed not for the destruction of humanity. We are doing that ourselves. No, God's weapons have been designed and deployed for the destruction of Satan and his kingdom. Hebrews 2:14 declares, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, and that is the devil. He had the power of death, that is past tense. He had the power of depression. He had the power of sickness and disease. He had the power of abuse. He had the power of insecurity. He had the power of suicide. He had the power of drug addiction. He had. Whatever he had has been broken in the mighty name of Jesus through his death. But you need to believe it, church. First John 3:8. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. This mandate was started by our Lord Jesus Christ at his resurrection, and it will be finished at his return. Until then, we are instructed to fight the good fight of faith. We must continue to increase in the strength the Lord has supplied to us through our union with him. We must be prepared to exert Christ's dominion, his lordship, his authority, and his government, his influence, and his jurisdiction by the operation of his force, his strength, and with his power, through which we are able to overcome all immediate resistance, and by which we are able to pull down every stronghold and every infrastructure of the enemy, destroying his works at each and every single level of operation. Hallelujah. Amen. Number three, it is armor that is to be used both for defensive and offensive combat. This word, whole armor, in the original Greek is panoplia. And this means a complete set of defensive and offensive armor or weapons, essentially everything needed to wage successful warfare. Panoplia represents the full resources the Lord gives to the believer so they can successfully wage spiritual warfare. And in this way, they do not fight for victory, but they fight from victory. And this is what Paul, the apostle, writes in 2 Corinthians 6, 4-7 in the Amplified. This is his CV. I don't know if it's yours, but it's his. I know it sure ain't mine. But we commend ourselves in every way as true servants of God, through great endurance, in tribulation and suffering, in hardships and privation, in sore straits and calamities, in beatings and imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless watching, hunger, by innocence and purity, knowledge and spiritual insight, long suffering and patience, kindness in the Holy Spirit, in unfeigned love, by speaking the truth, the word of truth, in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand to attack and for the left hand to defend. Your weapons of warfare are weapons for both attack and for defense. And they have to be wielded by the word of truth in the power of the Holy Spirit. But don't neglect the CV of the Christian. This is not the CV of an apostle because he was an apostle. But he says, I have been through it, church. I've gone through endurance and tribulation, suffering, hardship, privation, sore straits, calamities, and it goes on and on and on. But feigning all of that, I am still speaking the word of truth in the power of God. I'm still using the weapons of righteousness for the right hand to attack and for the left hand to defend. Praise God. This is how you win the fight. This is how you win the fight. In any form of combat, knowing how to defend yourself from the blows of your opponent is very important. But just as important is to know how to go on the offensive. It is the same in the spiritual battle. We're going to cover this not next week, but the week after. So in order for us to be thoroughly prepared for the battle, both offensively and defensively, it is armor. The armor has to be completely put on and taken up. But before we can, listen to this now. Before we can go on the offensive, we need to deal with the offense that is in our hearts. Because if we are to resist the enemy, we must become resistant to the temptation that says we have a right to be offended. Did you hear that, church? Before we can go on the offensive, we have got to deal with the offense in our own heart. Why? Because offense is the one thing that will keep us immobile. It will make us dysfunctional. We have got, if we're going to resist the devil, then we've got to become resistant to his temptation that says you have a right to be offended regardless of what they did to you. Because if anybody was going to be offended, it would be this guy. And let's not talk about Jesus on the cross. We need to keep on going. Number four. This is in the fourth one now. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be great if the band could come back at some point. Number four, we need to put on and we need to take up. You've got to put on and take up the whole armor of God. Put on and take up the whole. This is the fourth key thought on the armor. It has to be the whole armor. And listen to this. British Admiral Lord David Beattie commanded a flotilla at the Battle of Jutland during the First World War. As the battle began, British and German ships engaged each other long range. A heavy cruiser, the Lion, was hit by an artillery barrage and quickly sunk. Next, the Indefatigable was hit in its powder magazine and blew to pieces. Then the Queen Mary was sunk, taking a crew of 1,200 soldiers straight to the bottom. A flaw in the design of the British ships was soon recognized. Though their hulls were heavily armored, their wooden decks offered almost no protection against enemy artillery shells dropped from above. Only after the British began to armor their ships on top as well as on the sides did they stop losing ships to German longboats. We cannot go into spiritual combat partly equipped. We need to be fully equipped. We can't face the enemy partially protected. We need to be fully protected. I remember this, just think about this very important point. It's simple, but very important. Remember, in light of what I've just said, remember that we would not need armor if it wasn't possible for Satan to attack and injure us. Amen? It's just logic, isn't it? You won't need the armor if it wasn't possible for your opponent to do damage. Amen? But the believer who is casual about this is in danger of becoming a casualty. But the child of God who is fully clothed and equipped and prepared for battle will be able to withstand him and to resist him. Did you know that your enemy, the devil, also has armor of his own? And he goes into battle not without his whole armor. Did you know that? Let's look at what the text says. Let's go to Luke 11, 21, 22. And we'll see it together. What does it say? When the strong man, fully armed, from his courtyard, guards his own dwelling, his belongings are undisturbed. His property is at peace and is secure. But when one stronger than he attacks him and conquers him, he robs him of his whole armor on which he has relied and divides up and distributes all his goods as plunder. Now watch this. The enemy, when he comes to fight, he comes to fight with his whole armor. Therefore, it is essential that we meet him in battle, fully equipped and fully dressed, not ill-equipped or underdressed for combat. The enemy may be strong, but the one who fights with you and for you is stronger than he. 2 Chronicles 16:9 declares, For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. I'll read that again. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show, he said, who do I need to show myself strong to today? He's saying, I'm going to look at South Devon. Is there anyone there? I'm going to go to LWC. Oh, there's loads of people there. I'm going to go to that church down the road. Oh, there's loads of people there. I'm going to go to Paris. Is either, maybe there's people there. I don't know. We're going to go to the US and I'm going to go to Europe. I'm going to go to Australia. He looks all around the world. He's saying, is there anybody who's loyal? Is there anyone who understands? Is there anyone who seeks my face? Is there anyone who is hungry? Is there anyone who is ready to face the Goliath before them? I am going to show myself strong. This guy has his own full armor though. Don't kid anybody. But Jesus says the armor that he relied upon is about to be stripped away from him. The enemy has formidable weapons, but church, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Hallelujah. I declare over you, child of God, that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They have been formed against you. They have been fashioned against you, but they have no power over you. In the mighty name of Jesus, they shall not prosper. You need to know today that because of the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are a survivor. Some of you have survived something. You are a survivor. The enemy tried to destroy you, but someone stronger than him was fighting for you and with you. But not only that, you're not only a survivor, you are an overcomer. The enemy tried to drown you, but someone stronger than him was fighting with you and for you. But not only are you an overcomer, you are a conqueror. The enemy tried to triumph over you, but someone stronger than he was fighting with you and for you. But not only that, not only are you a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. The enemy thought he could eliminate you, but someone stronger than he was fighting with you and for you. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the commander of the in chief of heaven's armed forces. He is your defender. He is your strong tower. He is your shield. He is your fortress. And he is still fighting with you and for you. So now all you have to do is to take up what you have put on. Yes, maybe you have fallen in battle. I've fallen many times. Maybe you have fallen in battle, but you need to get up. There is unlimited forgiveness. There is unlimited forgiveness. There is unlimited mercy. There is unlimited grace. Anything outside of that is a compound lie. That's why you can get up. You can get back up again. Maybe you have been wounded in battle. Maybe even by friendly fire. You need to know that your healer is here. He will bind up every wound. He will pour on the oil and the wine. Oh, child of God, the enemy wants you to stay down, but it's time for you to rise up. The enemy wants you to give up, but it's time for you to stand up. If giving up is an option, you will give up. So guess what? Don't make giving up an option. It's time for the church to show up for the showdown. There is no spiritual battle that you cannot win, child of God, because there is no battle that he has not already won. You are more than a conqueror, so now all you have to do is show up. Hallelujah. He thought he was safe when he had you in his possession, when you were his property. He thought he was safe when you were part of his belongings, undisturbed. But one day, someone stronger than he came, and said, no, 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 you can't have that. You can't have him. You can't have her. She's my child. He's my child. And he broke that yoke. He destroyed the chains. And he made every single one of his armory completely null and void. And not only that, look at what, this is our Jesus. This is Jesus, lovely Jesus, meek and mild. He attacked him because you don't mess with his children. He conquered him because you don't mess with his children. He robbed him of what he robbed him of because it was his possession in the first place. Because you don't mess with his children. He made his whole armor null and void. The armor that he relied upon and he still relies upon. This devil is a liar. This devil is a loser. Your Jesus is a winner. Your Jesus is a champion. He has done it before. He will do it again. But now guess what? There are still so many more of these treasures of darkness. There are many more in his possession. There are many more who are a part of his belongings, and there are many more who are still lying undisturbed. And he delivered them 2,000 years ago, but now he says the fields are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. I need somebody who is going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I need somebody who's going to pick up the full armor of God. I need somebody who's going to take up the full armor of God, and that person who will go into the kingdom of darkness and take down every stronghold, destroy every foothold, break down every yoke of bondage, remove every chain of oppression. This is you, child of God. And if you look at yourself in the mirror and you think he's not talking about me, you're lying to yourself, because I am talking to you, but most of all, Jesus is talking to you. You watching online, he is talking to you.
All right. A few things we're going to do. I'm just going to commit this whole message to the Lord. And as a practical take home, what I will encourage you to do before we even look at the armor of God next week. In your week, spend time with the Lord in prayer and ask him to prayerfully ask him to help you understand what it actually means to take up the armor of God for yourself, in relation to your situation right now, in relation to where you are right now in your own life. Ask him, because it's going to be something specific for me and unique to me as it will be for you. Ask him. There is a generic sense of what this word means, but there is a specific sense as well. You speak to the Lord and say, God, today I'm not going to wait till Wednesday. You, as soon as you wake up tomorrow or whenever it is you have time in prayer, you don't need to wait for next Sunday. You open up Ephesians 6 yourself. You read Ephesians 6, 10 to 18 yourself and say, God, show me how I can get hold of this truth and how I can take up my shield of faith, my breastplate of righteousness, my helmet of salvation, my shoes of the gospel of peace, my belt of truth, my sword, the sword of the Spirit. Show me how I can take them up. Not just put them on. You already have them on. Show me how I can take them up and use them, Lord, in this week when I go to work, when I go to school, when I go to college, when I go to my business. God, show me how I can use it, God. Because all around me every day, there are people who are still bound by this devil. Show me, Lord. And that's our prayer, Father God. When you ask, I ask that you will help us. Help us, Lord, understand how to resist, how to be the resistance. Help us know how to block, anti-stemmy, block every advance into our lives, into our minds, into our physical bodies, into our marriages, Lord, into our families, our homes, our churches. Help me, God. Teach me. Show me how to fight and how to win from the place of victory by the victorious one. As we come to a close, if you can have the ABCs up. Holy Spirit, I ask you, Lord, to minister to every heart in this place that is far from Jesus. Bring them home, Lord. I want us to say to you as we conclude our time together. You don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, but you don't have a personal relationship with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, then please, you need to do something about that today. I would say to you, don't put it off. If you're not sure, please do something about it today. If you're backslidden, if you're not walking with the Lord, please do something about it today. Let me say this to you. Heaven is very, very real. I've never been there, but by faith, which is more real than this platform. That's what my faith is. I can't speak for anyone else, but by that faith, I know heaven is more real than anything else that we can see here that we think is real. Compared to the reality of the supernatural and the invisible, this is nothing. This is just a temporary blip in time and eternity. But heaven is truly real. And heaven is the domain of an almighty God who is the creator of all things seen and unseen. And who is the one who created you out of his love for you and created you for a purpose, created you to fulfill that purpose. Not only in time, but for all of eternity. But you cannot, you, if you are not in Christ, if you are not saved, then you will not be able to fulfill your purpose. But more than that, you will continue to remain separated from God who loves you. This separation is because of sin. And it's why Christ came and died, because there is no good deed. There is nothing you and I, we can try to be the best people on the planet, but that will not fix the sin issue. That will not be the antiseptic. That will not be the antihistamine to deal with this thing. There is only one who can do this, and that is Jesus Christ. And when the sin issue is removed, when the sin problem is dealt with, it was dealt with 2,000 years ago, and now it has to be dealt with for you today. Once that is done, you are going to be in the presence of your God for all of eternity, and that can never be taken away from you. But my friend, if you reject the free gift of Christ's eternal life today, then the only destination is the place the Bible calls hell. This is the place of eternal separation from God. God does not send anyone to hell. He only honors our choices. And today, I appeal to you, choose Christ. Choose to follow Christ. God sends nobody to that place of eternal damnation. He only honors our choices because we were all heading there by default. But Jesus Christ came and said, I am making a way out of this unpassable motorway that leads to this highway to hell. I am making a way out. And he became the way. He became the truth. He became the life for you and for me. Why would you reject that? This is about your eternity. You are only here for a short period of time. In 100 years, none of us will be alive. Even the youngest among us, in 100 years, none of us will be alive. But eternity is for an eternity. Where will you be in 100 years' time? I know where I'll be. I'll be in the presence of the God who died for me and saved me and brought me to himself and washed me in his blood. I know where I'll be. Not because of my merits, not because I'm Pastor Tony, because I'm a child of the King. Do you have that same assurance? I plead with you today, if you don't, get right with God. How do you do that? We're just going to pray together. In line with these three things, admitting that you have sinned, believing that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, and confessing his Lordship. We're going to pray together. This prayer does not save you. Prayer hasn't got the power to save anyone. The Holy Spirit does. But this prayer is your confession that this is what you believe. If you're ready to give your life to Christ right now, right at this moment, if you are ready to come back to Jesus because you have walked away from him right now, then we're going to pray this together. Let's pray together, church. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for sending your Son, your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for my sins and in my place. Today, I confess that you are my Lord and that you are my Savior. And from this moment, Lord Jesus, I give you my life for the rest of my life, from here all the way through to eternity. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for my sins and that you rose again because of my life. So I praise you and I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Come on, let's give him praise. If you prayed that prayer, could you look up, please? If you prayed that prayer, we want to just identify, would like you to identify just that you've done that, because we want to help you with some literature, some, and also to just celebrate you, encourage you, and love you as you take your first steps as a brand new Christian in the kingdom of heaven. So just really, really quickly, if you prayed that prayer, can I just ask you to do something brave? Just raise your hand, please, so that we can celebrate you and identify you. Is there anyone in the room? Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on. Let's celebrate the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, sister. Welcome, sister. Anybody else? Because you're my sister now. Anybody else? All right, come on, let's give God glory. And let's please stand to our feet. We're going to release you shortly.